Hello, sunshine. This is Shauna, also known as Creative Stitching Diva, and you are listening to Chronicles of a Crochet Diva podcast. Enjoy.
Hello, 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 sunshine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited. So we're going to meet Callie. Callie from Crochet It Ain't So.
That's me.
So I am so excited because I met Callie on TikTok. And no matter where I went on TikTok, I found her face. No matter where I went, you showed up on my For You page, and I'm like, okay. And then I saw your stuff. I saw the pillows. I was like, okay, I like her.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad. So it's you know, it's some pretty funny. Like it's polarizing, right? Like a bad word. And for those of you who don't know me, I crochet bad words onto pillows. That's like kind of my shtick. Also non bad words, but for the most part, it's bad words. And it's polarizing. People are like, oh, why would you ever put that on a pillow? And I'm like, it's not for you, and that's okay. You got your own thing. I got my own thing. That's good.
I love them because it's simple and straight to the point.
Yeah. You can't get around that. You can't get around it. It's just there. No hiding.
And the Kamala one. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. That's my favorite one that I have created, just because it was the most like design heavy. I drew it out in Procreate. I put it into the app that I use, which is Pixlable. I think you said you used Stitch Fiddle, right?
No, PC no. Stitch.
Oh, a different one. I haven't even heard of that one. I have to look. So Pixlable is one that I use, and I've used it for a long time. And so I take my Procreate designs and I plug them in there so that it helps me pixelate them. And so then when I was stitching it, I was like, oh, I hope this works. And, you know, getting her color right and her skin tone right, I wanted to make sure I wasn't, you know, messing with any of that too much. And so I was so happy with how it came out. And the response has been great. And that's truly like one of the most special ones to me, because we got to see history just this week. I mean, we, all of us women, and especially women of color, women of South Asian descent, got to see that they could be someone in the second most powerful seat in the entire world, and in a lot of ways. So it was just, I sobbed. I don't know about you, but I was like,
you're making me tear up right now. Like, I'm getting all teary eyed because it's emotional, because women, period, have come a long way. And that, right, when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I have goosebumps.
But yeah. The pillow was really cute and straight to the point. And I actually put her link down in the description. So if you want to check out her Etsy, you're going to love those pillows. I'm telling you, you're going to really love them. That one really took my breath away, because
thank you.
I was like, yo, that was, I loved when she said it though. Like,
Oh, really? Throw down, especially I work in corporate America. I'm a corporate marketer by day, crocheter by night. And, you know, just being a career woman in an industry that is typically dominated by men, I mean, I've been talked over, and every woman I think in the entire world has been talked over by men. So for her to on the world stage basically be like, I'm speaking, it was just the best moment. I was like, thank you, you queen of a woman. Yes, you are speaking, and everybody needs to listen, you know? Oh, so good.
Yes, I was looking at that pillow, and I'm like, wait a minute, no, she didn't. No, she didn't just do that. Yes, she did.
Everyone's been asking me lately to do the Bernie Mittens one, but there's a Toby Time Crochet. She blew up overnight, became an amazing sensation, and because of her amazing Bernie doll, she's always had these like amazing dolls that she's made that have been so in proportion and like really detailed. That is not my thing. Like, the amigurumi are great, but like, I don't like the teeny tiny fine detail. And the people at the woodwork that have been like, can you make this for me? I'm like, no, I can't. But I bet you there's tons of people who are going to be selling them. Like, go for it. So just everybody go and support her, and her patterns are amazing. And then if you need a pillow, that's me.
Yeah, I was yesterday alone, like four people tagged me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, do y'all realize I don't do that? That's a doll. That's different than the blanket. But see, I don't think people, I think people see crochet.
They say crochet and that's it. Yeah.
And then they think, so I probably can do it. I just don't want to.
Yes. Okay, great example. So I got my parent, I like Harry Potter. I've always liked Harry Potter. Don't really stand with what J.K. Rowling has said recently about the trans community. Not into it. But the world she's created, grew up listening to it and watching it and reading it. And I'm right at the right age. Like, the books came out when I was 11. So I grew up with it my whole life. So my parents always get me Harry Potter stuff. I have a Harry Potter tattoo. And they got me a Harry Potter doll crochet kit for Christmas, which was so sweet. And I was like, okay, while I'm at their house, I'm going to make a little Harry. I got like halfway through his head and I'm just like, I just don't think I'm going to do this. Like, I was like, oh, I'm done for now. And it sat underneath my coffee table in my office for the last, like, since Christmas. I mean, you know, I'll do it maybe one day, but it's not for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't even pick up the needle because I know good well I wasn't going to finish it.
So I know I'm not and meticulous. This is like, ugh.
Yeah, that's not for me. The doll makers, kudos for you.
Heck yes. Heck yes. Mm-mm. Yeah, that's a talent and patience level I just don't have.
So when did you start crocheting, Callie? I think I saw a video, a TikTok video, saying TikTok, that you started at five.
I did. So my mom actually taught me. So my great grandmother was Gigi Nana, and I never met her. Unfortunately, she passed before I was born. But Gigi Nana was like serial crafter, big time crocheter. So she taught my mom when she was a kid. So then fast forward to when I was around five and able to kind of comprehend whatever she was talking about. She taught me how to crochet. And so she's like, let's make a scarf. I'm like, okay, let's make a scarf. And so for anyone who has ever started out crochet, most of us make the same mistake where basically you miss a lot of stitches. And by the end of this scarf that was this size, it ends in a point and you have a pendant. So I actually started with that. And then have on and off done that as a kid. So then fast forward to around the 2012 timeframe, I did it through college as well. So 2012, I was working full time in my career doing things. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of missing my creative outlet. I just started in like this entry level marketing position, wasn't being creative at all. So I was like, I think I'm going to crochet again. So I started crocheting a bunch of stuff and really experimenting with like new kinds of stitches. I learned at that time, the hardest stitch I've ever learned, which was broomstick lace. I don't know if you've tried that one yet, Shanna.
I saw it, but I didn't.
It's hard, but really cool. It's, one I want to revisit soon with my like stitch a day thing, but I was experimenting with all of these different stitches. So I had my first ever booth in 2013 with all crochet stuff. And then I morphed that into like cross stitch for a while and was doing like bad words onto cross stitch. And then bad words onto embroidery and like pop culture stuff, like please don't do coke in the bathroom, or instead of like home sweet home, I was doing like Gangsta's Paradise with like a cute little house.
Oh my God.
I was selling those for a long time, and then got busy, then got pregnant, then had my baby. And fast forward to now, he's two. I've had some like more time being at home. And so I picked the needle back up and started crocheting again. And here we are.
Yes. And then the F pillows started coming out.
That's what it was. That was the one that started it all, because I was like, I know people really like the cross stitch and embroidery to do because of all the bad words. I was like, I'm just going to make a pillow that says fuck on it and see what happens. And then that blew up and people were really into that. So then it just kind of spiraled into there. So there was actually a pretty good stretch where I was releasing at least a pattern a week. And so even still, I think up to this point, it's still been about a pattern a week that have come out. So it's been really fun to create them and write them. And this has been the first time in my whole 27 years of crocheting that I've actually written patterns. So it's been really fun, okay. A totally different world for me.
The pattern making is, well, I don't see me doing it. I sell grabs. Mm-hmm. I sell that. But to actually make a pattern, I'm like, oh, and I have, but I don't like sell them. I
Yep.
had gave them away for free, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so much work,
It's a
and
lot of
I don't
writing.
count.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
just don't
I
count.
write for my day job. Like that's like a big thing that I do. It's the thing I'm like good at. And so it is fun. Like I don't know, there's always this weird thing I've always had where I like you know how everyone talks about like you know a main character in your own story. Like, you know, me picturing myself at a coffee shop being like furiously typing on a laptop or you know whatever. And writing patterns almost like gives me that vibe. I'm like sitting on the couch with like hair up, no makeup, like gross jammies, you know, like half a sock on, and I'm like, really, this is me as the main character writing my patterns. But in my mind, I'm at a coffee shop being like, so cool.
Which one is your favorite one? The
So
pattern.
the Comma Pillow is my favorite just because of just what it stands for and also like the design that went into it. But I think the one that well, okay, the one that has the biggest sentimental value to me, there is a pillow on there that doesn't have any words on it at all. It's actually the only one on there, and it is of mountains.
I'm sorry.
And it's another color work one. It's like five different colors to make mountains of varying degree. And actually, that was inspired. My husband and I took a hike to Scotland. We like to do long distance hikes. And in 2016, before our baby, we did a 100-mile hike in Scotland. It's called the West Highland Way. And it's gorgeous. And like, I mean, like you're basically out of Game of Thrones or like Lord of the Rings. It's like these like beautiful hills in the Scottish Highlands. And we hiked for 7 days for 100 miles. And so that trip was like life-changing in so many ways. And so I was really missing it this year. And I was like, ah, oh, I just want to make a pillow about Scotland. And so I made that to, you know, say the West Highland Way. So that's
Oh,
the most
okay.
sentimental. But the one that I will say is probably the most popular is actually the bitch pillow. The fuck pillow was the most popular, but bitch pillow has like boom shot way past it.
I personally would do the bitch pillow.
Yeah.
I
Yes.
personally would do that. But I also oh man, it was like years ago we had to do a swap. And I picked this one chick that I love. Oh my God, her name Holly. And Holly always said bitch. Always. And so I said, what can I do with bitch on it? So I made her a scarf and it said bitch Avenue. She wore that bitch Avenue scarf every single wear. And she always had pictures of just bitch Avenue scarf. And that made my day because I know she always was like, bitch this, bitch that. And I'm like, what can I make for Holly? I don't know what I can make for Holly. And that right there was the best thing because I'm like, she said it that morning too. She was like, bitch. And I'm like, I'm going to make her a bitch scarf.
Oh my God, I love that so
I still
much.
sell it too. It's in my Etsy. I sell it because I made it into a pattern.
Yeah.
But
I love that
it
so
says,
much.
it was green. I made it green like an actual sign and it said
Like
bitch
in
Avenue.
the white. Oh my God, get out of
Yes,
here.
I did.
I love
Yep. I
it.
don't even have a picture of her. I don't even have a picture of her with it on, but she wore that proudly.
I love that. I love that so much.
I am. So I started cussing like in my late 30s. So
Oh.
I'm 40. I'm 40. I'll be 43 next month. No, in March. I'll be
Okay,
43 in March.
listen, tell me your secrets for how to look as good as you do in just 10 years for me because please.
My
Oh my God.
mama.
Okay, your mama give me her
Don't
secrets and her juju because I need some.
know what else. My mama, that's all. That's all. I don't do anything special, but yeah, I'll be 43 and I got a 21-year-old. He's graduating college.
My
Yeah.
mind is blown. My mind is truly blown. I've had one 2-year-old and I already look tired and haggard. These glasses hide a lot, don't worry. And the hat hides a lot of these wrinkles up here. So
Well, I think I'm late in the game because I had my oldest at 21 and then my youngest I had him at 31. So they
okay.
10 years apart. Yeah, I
Yeah.
was crazy. I was crazy. Something was really wrong with brain when I did that. 10 years apart is too far.
Yeah,
Don't do it.
pretty self-sufficient and decide, eh, let's have another one.
Don't do it. Well, word of advice. I don't do that. He's about to graduate college now. So I need a babysitter.
Right? Don't you dare leave.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so stupid of me. But it's my miracle. I love him.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. But that I started cussing like really late. And then it just started flowing out my mouth to the point where it was like, you either like me or you don't. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yes. Yeah, I have to watch myself now with a 2-year-old that likes to just basically repeat every single thing that I ever have said ever. And like, he says words, but sometimes I'm like, is that a bad word? Or are you trying to say something else? I can't tell. So I have to really watch myself because I say anything. Like today we were at the park walking on some trails. I think I was like, just talking about the trees or the lizards. It was every single word I said out of my mouth. He was like, just parroting back to me. I'm like, great. I love this.
They are but also,
mama gotta watch her face.
Those kids are sponges.
Oh my god, it's incredible.
Because my niece, and the thing is, she looks and she talks at like she's serious. She's not laughing or anything. Yeah. And she asks, "What do you use a bra for?" And my sister said it helps, you know, for your breasts and when you're saggy and it pulls it up. She says, "So do you have to wear a bra for your butt?"
It's actually so smart to ask. It's so smart.
I would have never thought of that. But she's absolutely right. Like, yeah.
So the other day, my son said the like craziest thing to me. So he likes marshmallows. That's like his reward if we're gonna do something. Or right now he's learning to potty train. So we're like, you want a couple marshmallows? Let's go sit on the potty. So the other day he like pulls my shirt down. I breastfed him for 14 months, but he does not remember at all. Like I asked him the other day to see, like, do you remember me breastfeeding you? And he has no idea. But he pulled out my shirt the other day and looked in there and he goes, marshmallow boobs. I was like, excuse me, what did you just say to me? No. What?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Like, and he knows boobs, but the fact that he called the marshmallow boobs, I was like, okay, rude.
I would have never thought of that. It's just crazy how they think of it. And they're so literal. It's crazy. Yes. I love my niece to death, but she is like the stuff she comes out of her mouth and I'm like, what?
Yeah. My friend got me this really great little journal and it's like crazy things kids say. And she's like, you know, when he starts talking, fill it in. And so I put that one in there, put some like weird stuff in there, but it's just like, oh my God, this is like the best age, but also just wild, like wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Do he see you crochet? Is he interested?
He is and he isn't. He's really funny. He like thinks fuzz is like gross and also hilarious. So like fluff, right? If there's like a little hair or like a string somewhere, he's like, ooh, fuzz, ooh, you know? And so when I crochet, he like thinks it's a giant ball of fuzz. So he'll come up and touch it and he go, ooh, fuzz. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, he is less interested in it, but I do want him to like learn, even just like as a kid when he gets a little older, because I think that's another underrepresentation in like the crochet community is just men. You know, I've seen a few on TikTok, which have been so nice to see because they, you know, try to break the stigma of, you know, just like an old lady craft. Like it's not, you know, there's women and men of all ages that can and should do it. It's extremely mindful. It's fun. You get to make something. It's cheap. Like there's no gatekeeping necessary. You don't have to buy anything. It costs. Let's say if you started with a skein of, I don't know, red heart yarn, that's what, $4 at most. And then a hook you can get for $1. So $5 to start something that you might really like, you know?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right. I was trying to get my son, my youngest son, he said he wanted to crochet. And I'm like, really? He was like, yeah, I want to learn. I'm like, okay. And so what I did was when I first started having my podcast, I was talking about myself, but then what I did was I introduced a man and he came on and I wanted to know, how did you start crocheting and why did you start crocheting?
Yeah.
And he was like, is your son around? And I'm like, no, you want me to? He's like, no, I started crocheting because of a lady.
Oh
yeah, so he said he just wanted to touch her, and he said crochet. I thought What he thought was going to happen was when he's crocheting, she was going to get behind him and teach him.
Like ghost with the, like the.
Yes. It didn't happen like that. It was the mother who taught him. But yeah, that's how he learned how to, because he wanted to be close to a girl. But then it turned into now, like he's doing, he loves to crochet now. And he said he used to get teased, but not too much. And he didn't pay attention to it because he said, yeah, you're going to keep talking about it, but I got the girl.
Exactly. Exactly. I keep telling my husband, I'm like, you should learn also, because I'm like, I need some like labor here that can help me crank through some stuff. But he won't do it. He's like, no. I'm like, you're just sitting here doing nothing. Like, you could learn. It's really great. Fiddle with your hands. He's like, no, thank you. I'm like, okay, fine. I ask him every time I learn a new craft, I'm like, come on. These are his. Yes, these are his guitars, not mine. Oh, where's my finger? There you go. Yeah, don't let this background fool you. I do not play any musical instrument at all, except for my shower voice. These are his. He likes to play guitar and bass. So I'm just in his office to keep it nice and quiet from the toddler who doesn't know I'm home. So I like to hide out while he doesn't yell.
It's cool. But do he play like when you crochet, or does it bother you, or?
No, we usually, if we're going to like, so our evenings, once we put little boy down, we usually will like watch TV and we'll like watch a show together or a movie. We watched Peanut Butter Falcon the other night, by the way, which you've not seen. It is so cute, so good, like so heartwarming. I won't give you any details, but watch Peanut Butter Falcon to anyone listening. If you want to cry, like happy tears. We usually watch like movies and stuff, but some nights we like, you know, split up and we'll do our own thing. So he'll come in here and play music. I'll play crochet in the living room and watch my Outlander, which he doesn't watch with me. And he'll play his little tune. So.
Okay, cool. Cause that was the first thing I saw. Like, I see a guitar.
I know, me and my flannel and my cool hipster hat and my guitar behind me. I'm like, so cool. No, it's not. It's all a farce. It's not really me. My office is very dark. There's no natural light in there, or there's tons of natural light during the day. That's where I shoot all of my tutorials and my TikTok videos. But during the evening, I only have one sole lamp, and it's like this very dim lamp. So we'd be talking like in the dark together. So I figured I'd come somewhere a little more well lit. So
I use this.
Ah, the ring light.
I use the ring light just to have something on the side. I don't even think I need it, but I just use it just in case. But so what made you go on TikTok? Because I just can't get on there. I try the whole videos. I try to be funny, but then I'm like, okay, this sucks. I'm just going to delete it. This is not going anywhere.
So you'll like the story. So I managed at the time when early in the pandemic, I managed a social media team at a company that I was at for a long time, 7 years. I since have quit there and started a new job, but still lead the social portion of that team. But my social team was quite young. They were in their early 20s. And so I was like trying to be all hip. And I came in one day, I was like, guys, I'm so cool. I downloaded TikTok as almost like a joke, because I knew like, you know, these young kids are doing it. And they're like, we don't even have TikTok. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just like keep it just in case. And I instantly was hooked. I got like my work wife from that company, one of my good friends, I got her hooked on it. I was like, come, you have to be on TikTok. Like, this shit is so funny. And I was not posting any videos. I was like roller skating a little bit and like had a different account. So fast forward to like the summer. And I was like, you know what? I'm starting to crochet again. I see some other crocheters on here. I obviously think their content's great. I'll post a couple videos and see if people are into it. And then a few videos later was the fuck pillow video. And that one went like pretty, none of them have gone like viral. I guess like technically viral is a million views or more. I've never had a million views. I think my highest is the bitch pillow. And that was almost 400 or something. So it's high. I really like. Crazy. Yeah. Like it was honestly like mind blowing. I'll tell you that story of that day, because that day is like burned in my brain. But the fuck pillow went a little bit viral and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just keep doing this and see if people like it. And then you get like, as you go, you get a little more confident with like, I'll put my face out there. Why not? I'll do some funny, weird stuff. Why not? I'll do a trending video. Why not? And some of them tank, and then other ones do really well. And there's no rhyme or reason. This algorithm is like got a mind of its own. I know it's all, you know, automated. There's not like a person in the background being like, I like that. I don't like that. But just it changes so frequently. Any social media platform does. Like the algorithms are just constantly morphing into trying to be smarter than the users and trying to increase engagement from the users. So they're just changing their whole, you know, equation every day. And so like it'll pull a video from like 6 weeks ago and be like, that's going to go on the For You page today. And all of a sudden I'll be getting views for no reason on a tutorial video that someone asked me to do that I just did for my followers, not for any sort of like fame. So yeah, I love it though. I mean, aside from like just the fact that it has really helped me propel at my Etsy, it has been some of the funniest stuff I have ever seen in my entire life has been on TikTok. Like I have been laughing out loud. The other day I saw one, it was like unexplainably funny. So it was a guy, I couldn't even find it. I meant to send it to my friend and I didn't in time. And I literally have no idea how to find it now, but basically it was a close up of this guy making a sausage biscuit. So he like took a canned biscuit, split it in half, stuck some like egg in it and some sausage. And then he started sprinkling cheese on it and he called it chiz, like C-H-I-Z, and kept going with the video. So immediately I fly to the comments. I'm like, I don't give a shit about what this sausage thing looks like anymore. I need to like see why, if anyone else is freaking out about this way, this guy said chiz. And the comments were hands down some of the funny. I was like in tears crying at reading what people say. So, oh my God, so good. Like people are so funny on TikTok. So that's why I love it. You know?
It is definitely the comments for me. Sometimes I go to the comments just to see what people say.
Yes.
It is, some are hilarious. Some of them is like, really?
Some are disgusting pigs or just like rude trolls. Like I've gotten trolled on there a few times. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like go scroll away, get a life somewhere else, please.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any feedback from the Kamala one?
No, thankfully that has been all positive. Yes. Awesome. All positive. I maybe didn't make it onto conservative TikTok, thankfully, but it has been like nothing but just like support and happiness and like, oh my God, this is the best thing. Yeah. I was also a little nervous just because of after the insurrection and people being like out of their damn minds. I was like, I hope I don't get like too much backlash on this, but totally fine.
Nice. Because I can't even put, so I have a group on Facebook and it's a GraphGang group and I do nothing politics. I want to so bad,
but
I don't. I don't do anything politics. I think the most I did was maybe Obama. I did a scarf, an Obama scarf with the whole family, but that was it. But other than that, I would do something for like Memorial Day or Veterans Day. You know, I would support soldiers. I even support Blue Lives Matter. But it's just that I cut it off because it was one time I put support black businesses. Yeah. And someone yelled at me. And this is someone who I was really cool with for like a long time. Mm-hmm. And she was mad at me. She was like, support white businesses. And I'm like, but I do. Like, what are you talking about?
So it's like people like that frustrate me so much. You know, and I obviously like I'm a picture perfect person of white privilege, and I'm like very much like trying to make sure I use that privilege for the greater good and awareness and anything I can do and be better for myself and be better for my family and raise my son to be better. But people like that frustrate me so much because they miss the point entirely. Like entirely. White business has not struggled. White business has not ever been looked down on. White businesses haven't been, you know, oppressed in any way. And white businesses up to a certain point, like there's just like, it's like mind blowing to me that people miss the point that far. Like, get it through your brains. It's not about that we're not supporting others. It's not about that we're not supporting Asian businesses or Pacific Islander businesses or Mexican businesses. That's not about it at all. It's that there is a time that we want to support a group of people who have been historically oppressed and brought down for no fucking reason other than the color of their skin. Like, oh, it gets me so. I just it makes me really sad, you know. And we, as a society, need to do better. We, as small business owners, need to be better and like create equality where we can. And equality does not mean everybody's equal. I'll give you a good example. Okay, so another fun fact about me: I was actually I'm a certified yoga teacher. I put that in air quotes because I got certified and then immediately got pregnant, and so never really taught. I taught a little bit of corporate yoga for a while at my old company, but that was kind of it. But have been doing yoga my whole life, and in yoga teacher training, they talk about your sides, right side, left side. So most people have a dominant side, especially if you're like you're right-handed, your right hand, your right leg, your right backside, all of these muscles on the right side are stronger mm-hmm. by nature because you use them more frequently. If you have a left side, that's the opposite. So when you're doing yoga, you do most things on two sides. You stretch this leg, then you stretch this leg. And you don't want to stretch the same time for each leg. So if my right leg is stronger, I don't want to go 6 breaths on my right leg and 6 breaths on my left leg, because that will continue to build this discrepancy. My left leg will never be as good as my right leg if I keep the time. It's going to be like this, right?
Oh, okay.
So then if I stretch my left leg for double the time, I only do maybe 3 breaths on my right leg and 6 breaths on my left. Eventually, as I go, my left will start to get as strong as my right. And when they're both as strong, then you can start to equalize them. And I think that's like a really good analogy for anything that we're doing right now. Like, we are not in an equal playing field when it comes to anybody who is in a group that's been oppressed or looked down on in any way. And until we get to that point where we are truly societally equal, we should be always bringing that weaker side or smaller side or side that's been oppressed longer. We should bring that up to meet the side that has been stronger, in my opinion.
Perfect. Like, that right there was, like, you need to say that more, like, loud.
I mean, here's the thing, like, who am I to say, right? Like, these are things that I'm trying to like practice in my own family and be better and say to the people who I know maybe need to hear it more. But also, it's not my place to say things like that because I'm not in those areas. But using my privilege for good, absolutely. Like, whoever will listen to me, I will sing it from the rooftops, right?
Aww. I don't know. Well, I just know when I saw your Kamala pillow, I was like, oh, okay. All right, women. Not just women, like, it made me look at you like, okay. And then I said, because I don't want just anyone on my show.
Sure.
And my podcast is for anyone, for the fiber community, but for anyone. But I want my platform to make people understand that I was depressed. And I say it in every single podcast that I do. I was depressed. I was homeless. I went through a lot of stuff. I had breast cancer, but all of that stuff, I still was able to do my business and still able to do my crocheting and how crocheting saved my life. So I use this platform to let other people know that, yeah, you see all the good things that's happening, but you don't realize in the background, there's still some chaos.
Some chaos, yes.
it's some chaos back here, but I can actually tell you that it can get better, and that's why I do this, and this is why I do Behind the Hook, because I don't want everybody to just hear me and what I went through and what I talk about. I want them to know that other people and how they made it and how they are crocheting, and I just think that the fiber community just need to be a community and stick together a little bit more than what we are. Because everybody is trying to compare and compete, and it's not about comparing and competing.
No.
Because we all have different creative niches. And your niche is like fuck bit shit pillows. And you made it viral. And then me, I just love my Graphians. Like, I tried to go other places, but it's just me and Graphians. It's just me. I need to be where I am at.
Well, and here's the thing too, you know, like, no two people will ever be the same. If someone comes out and starts making pillows that have words on them, and there are tons of them out there, like, you know, if they want to make bad words, like, cool. You know, your work is different than my work. If you want to go ahead and write a pattern from scratch and design something from scratch and make your own pillows and sell them, please, like, community over competition. There's not enough of us crocheters out there that are doing something that will translate to the next generation. Go, you know, make sure that we spread that, because, you know, I think one of the things I always want to distill is, like, the stigma of granny crafts. Like, it's, yeah, grandma's crochet and knit. So do young people. I see people on TikTok that are 16 years old crocheting for the first time. Like, that's awesome. You know, that is so good. And they're making these cute little Harry Styles sweaters, and they're finding things that are cool and quirky for them. And then they're making this, like, little fashion statement for themselves, and then hopefully continuing that craft up through their adulthood and being able to make things for themselves and for their friends and make a business out of it. Who knows, you know?
And that's the part I love. I love the fact that a lot of people, a lot of younger kids are coming out, and they're finding that they do have a creative side, and that they can use that creative side to make a business or whatever. And I get so excited, because I've always been creative, and I've always liked all types of crafts, not just crochet, because I learned how to crochet in my 30s, and I learned at the perfect time, because I was a nurse. So and I stopped working for health reasons, and I didn't have anything to do, so I was depressed. I was so depressed, and my aunt was like, come to the library, and I'm like, no, I'm not going there with a bunch of 70-year-olds. I'm not going there. But she just kept asking over and over, and I said, okay, I'll go. So I went, and it was just something that clicked. Like,
yeah,
I can make this, I can make that, I could do
you
this.
You turned, like, this ball of yarn into, like, something. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have to first thank you as a nurse, thank you for being a nurse. So I actually also had health issues. I have Crohn's disease. I got diagnosed in 2016. And it was, like, really hard time in my life, like, especially as a young person. And I was, like, trying to live my life, and I didn't have kids yet. And so our friends were still, like, going and doing things. We were traveling a lot. We were hiking a lot. And I'm, like, so sick to the point where I was hospitalized. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes just, like, couldn't get out of bed because I was so much in pain. And this year, actually, in June, I had a bowel resection. So I had 25 centimeters of my intestines cut out. But I had to go alone to the hospital. My husband dropped me off at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning because it was COVID. And did I say June of this year? 2020 is what I mean. And dropped me off at the hospital. I was there for 4 days alone. But the nursing staff, like, so the nurse that first came, I mean, every single person there was just, like, honestly sent from heaven in any sense of the word. I still to this day, like, I know all of their names. But the first nurse that I was talking to when I was in the, like, my holding area before my surgery, and that surgery was 5.5 hours too. So I was, like, a little bit freaked out. She came up and she goes, listen, baby, I know your family can't be here with you, and I'm really sorry about that, but we're your family while you're here. Okay. So anything you need, you want to have someone to go walk with, we'll walk with you. You have someone to go talk to, just call us. We'll talk to you. And I was like, okay. So of course I'm, like, sobbing. And, like, my nursing staff, they would just come and sit in my chair, and we would hang out. I crocheted them all dishcloths, actually, while I was there. I was like, here you go. Here's something. I can't really give you anything, but I wasn't allowed to bring food in, but here you go, you know? So just from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being a nurse and taking care of people, because honestly, like, you nurses have saved my life time and time again, more than doctors ever would, more than anybody else. Like, nursing staff is truly has a the biggest place in my heart it could have.
Nurses are the bomb. Like, they're, like, the superheroes.
Yes.
Because the doctors, of course, they're good, but the doctors rely on the nurses.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize. The doctors rely on the nurse. So the nurse is the ones who have to do just about everything. When I was working, so I don't know what I would do if I had to work during COVID. I don't know. So I do commend all of those nurses and healthcare providers out there, because I don't know what I would do if I had to do that. But I have an autoimmune disorder, so I didn't want to put myself in that situation. No. But I actually did get COVID. So when
you
I got
did not.
Yes. 2 weeks after my
girl,
birthday.
No.
Kelly, it was crazy because when I got it, it was 2 weeks after my birthday in March. And I got it like way in the beginning.
Away, you got it in the beginning.
Like 2 weeks after they shut everything down over here. Yeah. And I got it. And it was like, I was in denial for like a little bit.
Like, there's no way. That was a false positive.
Like, and then they told us on Easter. So I was like, oh, man. But it was hard. So like I said, I don't know what I would do if I had to work in that situation. Mm-mm. But the nurses that I know, they all got it.
Yeah.
So they really was putting their life out on the line. Constantly. I'm like, oh, geez. But
incredible. There's a special type of person in this world, and you're in this category that are nurses. Like it's this mechanism that's in your brains that make you just the most amazing human beings that have ever walked this earth. And like, again, I just like thank you for the work you did, and for all of the nurses out there, like thank you.
I used to work in infertility, so I used to be like an infertility specialist.
Yes.
It was so draining. Like, I cried.
That's hard.
It's very hard. The doctor I worked for was excellent. Like, he had like an 85 to 90% positive pregnancy rate. So, out of all those people he did, it was maybe one or two that didn't get pregnant.
But still.
And it was emotional, but then it was good. And then I still keep up with some of my patients, like even still to this day, I still keep up with them. Like, they miss me. They're like, don't you want to go back? No, it's so much different. It's different now than it was back then. And so I'm glad I at least experienced what I've always wanted to do, because I was a sickly child. So I've always been in a hospital and doctors. So I said, I want to be a nurse because I'm around them. So I want to be a nurse. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a doctor. And then I realized, okay, a nurse is where I'm going to do what, where I'm going to be. And I did it and I loved it. And it was the best thing ever. And then I worked at a laboratory before where I was doing blood work and stuff. I was in charge of the whole facility. It was the best thing ever. And I was actually living by the beach. I had a townhouse park. It was beautiful. It was like, everything was beautiful. And then life happened. Mm-hmm. I started getting sick, and then I didn't know why. And then I started having pain. I didn't know why. And being in a healthcare field, you're hard-headed, because I was hard-headed. Mm-hmm. Even though I was tired and in pain, I was still going, working 70 hours a week, sometimes 80, and just keep going and going. I was pregnant and I was working all the way up to my last day, working, drawing blood, standing up all day long. Yeah, I was doing all of that because I loved my job, and I was in charge of the facility, so I didn't want anything to go wrong. I just wanted to make sure those patients were in and out, and I developed such a bond with a lot of them. And it just got to the point where I just couldn't do it no more. And I had to make a choice. And I believe in a law of attraction. So the positive things that I did in the past is all coming
for me. Yes. So true.
My life is beautiful. Like, I can't complain. It may not be perfect, but it's not.
Whose is?
Oh, some people will complain about just about anything, Kelly. And that's what I try to explain. Like, life is not going to be perfect, but if you got a roof over your head, you got food, your kids are good, everything is good, then, you know, I'm good. And I'm excited that I'm able to bring this platform for others. So I know I'm talking too much, but
I'm here for it. I totally agree with you though on the positivity factor. Like, especially even the opposite, right? Like, you keep putting this shit out there and you keep putting this negativity out there, like, that becomes your reality. Mm-hmm. And like, bad things happen. Bad things really happen, and to a lot of really good people. And it's how you respond to them and the control that you have in your own sort of self that becomes the reality later. Like, we had in 2016, so this is when I got, this is like the most wild 4 months of our lives as a married couple. We've been married for, it'll be 10 years this year, but we've been together a long time. So we, I'm trying to think of the order of events here. So we had a tree fall in our house in September of 2016 during a hurricane, and we lived in a 1925 bungalow at the time. So like this cute little historical bungalow, knocked our original chimney, punctured holes in our roof, raining through the ceiling at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was wild. So we had that happen in September. Fast forward to November, I got sick and diagnosed with Crohn's. So I was hospitalized in November. Then I think like a few weeks later, Brian's aunt, my husband's aunt, was in town and got into a car in my car. So we were dealing with like that situation. And then in December of that year, my grandfather had a stroke, which then he died a month later. All of that in a 4 month period. All of that. And at the end of the day, everyone was like, why do you stay so positive? And I'm like, because what else can I do? What else is there to do other than just kind of like roll with the punches, do our best we can, get things figured out with every insurance company known to man, and get our lives situated. And then we'll go from there. And it was just like a lot in 4 years. But I mean, we made it through. We're here we are. We've got a beautiful son and I'm healthy ever since my surgery. My husband's healthy and happy. We both have jobs. Like we're in good place and we're really lucky now, but it's just shit happens. And some shit happens way worse than those 4 months. Like, those 4 months were bad for us, but that's like a good day for some people, you know? So like, yeah. You know, it's just hard.
And yeah, absolutely right. But you are good though. Your health is good. The surgery did well.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, Crohn's is lifelong, as you know, like it's not going to go anywhere. But for the first time since my diagnosis, since before then, actually, I feel like a new life. I feel energized. I feel healthy. I feel happy. I feel like I can go and like actually live and be the mom I want to be and be the wife I want to be and the friend I want to be. So it's was the best decision I've ever made.
That's great because I get nervous when they talk surgery. Like my back was out. Like my back is bad. So it's to the point now where it like impacts the whole entire right side.
Yeah.
And when they say surgery, I'm out. Out the door.
Shanna, I was for years. So they told me the way that my Crohn's presented it, basically Crohn's, for those of you who don't know who are listening, is chronic inflammation of your intestines. So basically anywhere in your intestinal tract, it can be extremely inflamed at any time. Some people it presents in other ways. For me, it was like excess scar tissue. So with that inflammation, my intestines are making scar tissue just like when you cut yourself and it heals up. And so doing that so much that it actually created a really narrow portion of my intestines, which caused a lot of pain. So anytime I would eat or drink or do anything, I was in extreme amounts of pain. I was like losing weight a ton because I just wasn't hungry because my intestines hurt so bad. And so they told me pretty soon off the bat, like the only way to correct this is surgery. And I'm like, no, I will never do surgery. I'm going to go, no, I'm never going to do it. I was like all natural, all healthy, none. And so I got worse and worse and worse. And fast forward to early last year, in like the March timeframe, I had imaging done, like an MRI, and I had them done years after years. But finally, this one was bad enough where my doctor was like, listen, you have two options. You do it now while you're seemingly healthy, but still in a ton of pain and sickly, but like healthy enough to make this your choice, or you wait until it's an emergency situation and we have to do it when you're really in a bad place. And that's life threatening. Like you don't have another choice. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll make the choice then to do it. And then when I did it and healed up and everything, I was like, what the fuck was I waiting for? You know, I should have done this years ago.
I'm glad everything worked out well. I'm so glad everything worked out well.
Me too.
I know a couple of people that have Crohn's, and to hear them, I'm like, oh my gosh. I do understand the pain, but people don't understand your pain and your situation is different. Yeah. Everybody is different. So I can't compare my pain to your pain.
Yeah. At totally. All. Well, and it's an invisible illness, you know, like you have an autoimmune condition. A lot of people have autoimmune conditions that are invisible. They don't present that, you know, when you look fine, everybody looks fine, but you have extreme fatigue in many cases or phantom pain for no reason or digestive problems or skin problems or, you know, eye problems or hair problems or thyroid problems.
And that's why I said I like the fact that I learned how to crochet, because it actually took my mind off of some of that stuff. Because I was so, so depressed. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to leave the bed. I just sat in the bed and I just didn't want to do anything. I just felt like nothing was going right. And now, and I just started thinking positive. Yeah. And I always, and my, I call her my crochet sister and my friend, she's like my bestie. She always used to tell me, stop saying you're broke. Cause I was like, I'm broke. I don't have no money. Stop saying you're broke. Stop saying this. Stop saying that. And then one day it just clicked. And I'm like, I'm not saying this no more. I'm temporarily out of funds. And then ever since then, it's like,
raining. I love that. Temporarily out of funds. I love that.
Temporarily out of funds. And I'm able now, I'm able to, like, if my kids have an emergency, all right, here. Okay. Yeah. And now it's like, my son, he has an account, the little one, not even the big one, the little one. Yes. He has an account. He has his little own credit card and everything. So I'm like, man, I'm in a place where I think I'm even better now than I was when I was a nurse.
Right?
And I was making great money when I was a nurse. So now I'm like, all because I'm doing something that I'm happy. I'm living positive. Yeah. And law of attraction, I tell everybody it works.
It does.
And don't say you're broke. Say I'm temporary.
Because that's what the universe will give back to you. Like, I'll be broke. Well, here you go. Yeah.
Temporarily out of funds. That's what she
always
said.
Like,
I wish you would stop saying that. And I'm like, but I am. She said, you're not broken. Stop saying that.
Temporarily out of funds. That's my new favorite thing. I have to tell that to some friends. That's
temporarily really out of funds.
Yes.
Ever since I've been, like, I don't even have to say that anymore. The other day in my mind, I'm saying, oh, I'm getting low. And then all of a sudden, I get this $180 I don't even know. Where did it come from? Oh, I have merchandise. My t-shirts.
Yes.
And it just comes out of the blue. And I'm like, oh, I just got the email saying, oh, this had went to your PayPal. And I'm like, okay. We good. So, you know, I love passive money. And that's what I try to teach. Passive money is the best thing ever. And you wake up and you be like, okay, my Etsy is popping. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like for me, same thing. I, with a toddler and a full-time day job, like, and then like, you know, cooking dinner and like being a mom and wife and all of those things. Like, I don't have the time to fulfill a lot of orders. I wish I did. I don't. I love to crochet, but I cannot make them in high volume because I don't have the time. And so passively selling patterns where other makers can do that. And then I can promote them. Like, that's my ultimate goal is like, I make the patterns for the crochet community or people who want to learn crochet, make it easy, make them accessible, make them, you know, low cost, like all of the things that people need to get started and do something. And then they can make the shit out of them. And I'll say, hey, go over there. They have all of the pillows ready to get purchased. If you don't want to crochet, you don't know how to crochet, go there. Don't come to me. You know, every once in a while, I'll put like a real one out there, but it's so few in between. It's just like when I have time or if I designed one and I don't want to keep it, I sell them. But those who make them can sell them. I put it in my patterns. You are welcome to sell the stuff. Just give me credit as the designer and go for it. Just tell me if you are so that I can tell other people to go to you.
So there's a lady on TikTok. Katie,
yes.
Do you know her? Are you cool with her?
Every once in a while we'll chit chat back and forth in Messenger. She's incredible and has had like a ton of success on TikTok. Like, they should write a case study on like the success she's had as a crocheter on TikTok. And there's a few other ones out there that does really well. Well, she started out, I mean, she's a really talented crochet designer too. She makes these like great little like stuffed animals and like cute little things, and she sells her patterns, gets the knitting machine, which is actually why I bought my knitting machine, was because of her. And I made this on the same one she has, this little guy.
That looked like something you bought from the store. Isn't that cool that you could make something
tag on it? Yeah, that's mine. Nice. The best. Yeah, actually, I don't know if you know Sweetly Stitches. She's another TikToker, but also Instagrammer. So she's got some great stuff. She doesn't sell anything, but does a ton of crochet stuff. It's like her thing to do. And so she and I are working on like a potential charity opportunity where we are going to do like as much as we can and encourage as many people as we can to donate to like local shelters, women's shelters, homeless populations, like anywhere that needs something handmade, something warm, or just something to like have their own. Like we're just gonna try to kickstart it and let people go and be a part of it. So we were actually gonna chat tonight. We're gonna chat on Tuesday about like some of the specifics, but hats are one of the things that we're gonna donate.
Well, if you need help, I'm
Yes,
down.
ma'am. We do. We're
I'm
gonna try
always
to engage
willing.
like the whole crochet community. So yeah, I'll definitely like tag you in it and we'll do it all together. We want it as like big and fun as possible. So I'll loop you into like when we talk on Tuesday, we're gonna try to figure out like what we're, going to do for like a video to promote it, but then get some of our like main people in at the start to help us promote it and then let the rest of the community go. So I'll put you in my like main people list.
Yay, that's cool. I'm in the main people list.
Yay,
Yeah,
girl. You're
that's
A-list.
cool. I love anything for charity. Just let me
Good.
know, Callie. I'm down. Like, I just love giving back. I really do. I love giving back. That's what I started my group, my Graphic Hands and the Restless group. I
Yeah.
started that, which is basically charity. So a lot of proceeds I try to do every single month, the proceeds that I make, I would do like maybe 50% or 10%. Yeah, I do
How
sometimes
good.
50% because I went through so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah.
I went through so much. And if I had that help that I'm
Right?
trying to give out,
Yeah.
then maybe I wouldn't have been in such a tight situation. But that's what I try to do. And I'm in a social group now, and my social group do charities.
I love
And
that.
just did socks. So I purchased like 70 something socks, and we gave that to some homeless people. And we did
And that's like
hats.
the thing they need the most. I always hear is socks and shoes, right? Yeah.
Yep,
Let me
socks.
ask you this. So, you had mentioned to me that you're a breast cancer survivor, which is amazing in its own right. And that's one of the things. So my husband's mom got diagnosed with breast cancer. She's going through chemo now. I made her a few hats. From your standpoint, having gone through it, especially like losing hair and going through a lot of stuff where you're just like in these cold treatment centers a lot of the time, like are hats a good thing? Or what do women who are diagnosed with breast cancer and going through chemo, what do they need most?
So I was 25. So being that I was 25, I wanted my hair. I just wanted my hair. So what at that time, wigs weren't really out like they are now at that time. And I just wanted hair. But if I was to have, because I didn't want to wear just a scarf because I didn't want to look like, the regular chick with the scarf. So what I didn't mind at that time was hats, regular hats, and then I would put a wig. See, the thing about it is when you wear a wig, it would slide off. Back then, it would slide off. So I would put a hat on top.
To like lock
So
it
a
in.
hat is good, but it needs to be cotton and
Okay.
maybe sometimes a liner, maybe a silk liner underneath, because
It gets
people
hot,
don't
right?
realize it, your scalp is sensitive. And my scalp was very sensitive. So when I wore certain hats or caps, I would have to put a cap underneath.
And then it's like
It makes
triple
the
layer, so
hat.
you're like so hot. Yeah.
Right.
That's good to
And
know.
that's what I had to do. So yeah, just do ha a bunch of hats. Hats are cool and cute, and I wouldn't mind wearing a hat, period. I would do a hat, but I would just do a cotton hat or a lining underneath.
Perfect. I will do that. Thank you. That's a great note. Yeah, I was wondering
No
about like
problem.
I know wool people have wool allergies and I don't like to wear wool anyway. I just don't like how it feels. I know I'm like blasphemy for some that really love like a natural fiber. I am not that person. I'm acrylic all day. I
Yeah.
love my plastic yarn, but I didn't even think about cotton, but that's a good one. I'll pick up some cotton and do that.
Yeah, some cotton, or you could line it. I've never lined a hat.
I haven't either, especially these knitting machine ones. They're double layered, like the knit goes all the way through two layers.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lining might be a little bit thick, but
Yeah, I never
cotton I feel will be
lined a
light
hat,
enough.
but
Yeah.
cotton might help. Cotton
Okay.
might help. Just because I remember wearing hats that irritated my scalp and I mean, is she okay? Everything's okay?
Yeah, she's okay. So it's just, you know, yeah, it's somewhat new. So she's in her first round right now and, you know, hanging in there. Doesn't feel great, but that's the chemo for you. So,
yeah, my first chemo. So being that I was 25, they gave me chemo that they would give someone who had cancer throughout their whole entire body.
Oh, because your body could take it.
And they were so aggressive with it because when people don't realize that your tumor feeds off of estrogen, and I'm 25, so my estrogen was really
flowing. High. Yeah.
Yeah. So my tumor was going growing quickly. And I didn't, like, I'm working in the doctor's office, but I didn't realize this. And being that I was 25, they didn't, when I said, oh, I have a lump, it was like, oh, it's just this, oh, it's just that, because you're not told to get a mammogram until you're 40.
Right, because it's not common for younger women, yeah.
Right. So I tell everybody now, like, always do a self-examination. Mm-hmm. You know how your breath feels. You know how it is. And not only do the self-examination, get a baseline ultrasound or a baseline mammogram. And it doesn't matter if you have people in your family who had cancer or not, because they told me that it didn't matter that my grandmother had it at the same time. So they said, did you have anyone in your family with breast cancer? And I say, well, my grandma had it the same exact time I had it. They said, that don't count. And I didn't understand that. I never understood that. I still to this day don't understand why they told me that.
I don't know why they would say that wouldn't matter, and especially why they would ask the question and then say it didn't matter.
They was looking more of if I had a sister, or if I had a mom. But that's my grandma. That's my mom's mom. Right.
And also, like, genetic stuff skips generations all the time.
Yeah, it did. It went straight to me. Because my mom, she's good. Yeah. She gets her mammograms and everything, and she's good. But my grandma had it the same time I had it. My grandma was 80. Yeah, my grandma was in her 80s. And we had it. She didn't want nobody to know. She didn't tell me. She didn't want to take it away from me. And I thought that was so crazy of her. Yeah, she did.
Her parents, like, the best.
I don't know, but I was her favorite, so I know why.
I know that feeling because I think my grandparents' favorite too. So.
Yeah, my grandma's favorite. Like, she had other grandkids, but I was the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the oldest.
So my son is the only grandkid so far. So my brother doesn't have kids. My sister-in-law doesn't have kids. It's just Brian and I that have our one kid. So he's it. That kid is spoiled to the core. But I'm like, watching my parents become grandparents, especially, I mean, they were great parents. Like, I could not complain more about anything. Like, we live a mile from them on purpose. Like, we moved here to be closer to them because we like to hang out with them. Not only because, like, we have a baby, but they're just, like, fun to hang out with. Sometimes, even when we didn't live over here, we'd be like sitting at home on the weekends, just kind of bored. And my husband would be like, what do you want to do today? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, do you want to call your parents and see if they want to hang out? Okay. So, but watching them become grandparents has been like next level. Just, it's like incredible to watch. My dad and my son are like besties. That my son could be not more obsessed with anybody than my dad. He's like obsessed with him. See Papa. I'm like,
Go see Papa. I think that's so cute because actually, the kids love my mom, because she gives them just about anything
they want. Yeah.
So I can see that. And but my oldest has her heart. My oldest is the oldest. So yeah. I guess it's always that oldest, because that's the first one.
Right. And then yeah, all so, and the rest are like, I mean, I like you, but.
Even my sisters. One. My sisters was like, Idris is the oldest. He's the favorite. My kids are not. It's the oldest. It's my son. I'm like, I kind of get it because I was the oldest. But my mom says, no, all my kids are good. But I get it. Because they always used to say, Shauna, ask grandma to get us a computer. Or Shauna, ask grandma to this. Okay. They would tell me to do it because they know my grandma would listen to me.
Exactly. You were the one. They're like,
yeah.
Hey, nudge. We want M&Ms for dinner.
And grandma would do it. Yeah. Grandma cool. Especially my mother told her grandkids. She would be like, yeah, don't tell your mom. Here's some chocolate. Don't tell your mom.
he like hypes him up on sugar when they go over there, and then he comes home and he's like crazy before bed. Right? Like, what did you feed this child? What did you do? You know?
Yep, that's exactly how my mom.
He didn't even know M&Ms were until this year, like Christmas. So every year since I was a kid, my grandpa, so my dad's dad, my papa, hand painted this Santa. It's like a ceramic Santa with the open bag. And every year, forever, there's been M&Ms in that open bag, and they just sit out all Christmas long, and they just keep getting refilled. And then you walk by, grab a couple M&Ms. As a kid, grab a handful. So that's been out my whole life. I've never known anything different for the holidays. Well, my son finally this year is like, you know, just about two at the time, knows there looks like there's something interesting in this Santa bowl over here. So of course he steals one and discovers for the first time ever what M&Ms are, and then lost his damn mind over these M&Ms. Every time we'd go over there, he'd go, red, green M&Ms. And I'm like, no, we're not having M&Ms right now. You haven't even had dinner. And my dad would go sneak them. My dad'd be like, okay, buddy, no, M&Ms. And then come over with two M&Ms. I'm like, dude. So he asked for M&Ms every day from Christmas since like basically December 1st till January 24th. Every day that kid asked for M&Ms.
You know M&Ms, right?
Specifically red and green M&Ms he wants. So I'm like, I don't have red and green. I have a bag full of colors. I don't have red and green specifically. And then he gets mad if there's not red and green ones. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's how kids are. That's how kids are. Yeah, you got to be very specific and literal with them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, can't do nothing else. Man, I'm enjoying our conversation.
Me too.
I think that this is cool because I'm learning to meet so many people from all over the place. And you said you're from Florida, so I think that's cool. I didn't know whether or not you was on the other side or not, because I'm like, Eastern time. I kept putting Eastern time, Eastern time, because some people like
we're Eastern. We're in the same.
Yeah, but it was someone else. I don't know. I forgot who it was, but she was a whole hour. A whole entire hour like before me. So she's like, what time? So she's in the middle of the live cooking dinner because of the time change, because she didn't realize it was such a big,
right?
It was an hour difference. So that's why now I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I didn't specify this. So now I'm like Eastern time. And I don't know.
The same thing. I got better at it with my job is fully remote. So my company is technically in California, but like we're spread out across the world. Like I've got a guy on our team who's from Serbia, and then one of the guys on my team is from like Toronto. So like they're all over the place. But same thing, we've got people on the West Coast, East Coast, and then in other countries. And so we're always like, I'm specifying this meeting is at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 12 p.m. Pacific Time, just so everybody's aware. Everybody's like, yes, got it. Mm-hmm. So now I'm always like, is this Eastern? Yes? Okay, great.
So I'm going to find a video, and I'm going to do a duet with you. Maybe I could get popular.
Oh, girl, do it. Any video you want. Please. I need to take a quick little video while we're talking so that I can post it on TikTok.
Yeah, I think I did a video with the crochet song chick, Unique.
Oh, wow.
I did one with her, and I was so excited because I don't really do TikTok. I'm not a TikTok chick. So I did it with her, and that was the most viewed one that I got.
Yeah, I think the thing with TikTok is like, duetting people that have a big following. So that, the way that it seems to work, again, who knows? The way that it seems to work is that it shows your duets to the people that follow that person a lot of the time. So if like Katie Diggs, for example, has got, you know, 300,000 followers or something wild, duetting with her, it wouldn't show to all 300,000, but it would show to a lot of them. And so that's like a big way to get noticed, and like hitting it, you know, trending songs. So anytime there's like a song that people are using over and over and over again, using that in your videos seems to work, but also then not. Like I said, I use like a random sound or no sound at all, and I got 20,000 views, and I use like trending music and I get like 100. So who knows? I'm just having really a lot of fun. I've met the most amazing people on TikTok, and I'm just rolling with that. I'm like made a huge community that I'm obsessed with. The people who see my pillow seem to like them. That makes me really happy and validated. And then the rest is just for funsies.
Well, I see that you have a lot. You like 15,000.
I think 17 now. Yeah.
17. Goodness.
I don't know. I don't know, Sean. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. The one that did it was that bitch pillow. It was the easiest, silliest video I've ever done. It took me 30 seconds to make. It's like an 8-second video or something. And we posted it before bed, I think at like 7:30 or something. Made dinner, put my son down, watched TV, didn't really do anything else on TikTok, went to bed. I woke up the next morning and it had like 100,000 views in the morning. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Then we went out, like it was a weekend. So we went out to the beach, walked the causeway for a few hours. And I get back in the car and it's at like 300,000. And I was like, what happened? Like, what happened? My husband was like, dying. He's like, what's it at now? What's it at now? Every couple minutes, it would like go up 1,000 more views. It was like the wildest day. And most of my followers came from that. But then I got a lot actually recently from the Stitch a Day thing I'm doing. So yes. That's not my book. That's a book that has been out on the shelves for years and years. But the publisher actually reached out to me and was really happy that I was doing that, which was good. I thought I was going to get in trouble. It's got the reason I wanted it because I wanted to learn just random stitches I've never done. And then it was 350 plus stitches. And I was like, well, that sounds like a year challenge. So I started that on January 1st. And that was like a big lift in followers too. But that's it. I don't know.
So I saw it. And then I say, that is a great idea. Because even for the crocheters who've been crocheting for a long time, that I don't know. So
for me
to actually see so many stitches and different, and I'm like, ooh, I could try that.
Yes, that's for me. So there's some that I'm like, okay, I don't even know if I know. I can't even figure out like what this is supposed to do to like get through it. So I actually reached back out to the publisher. I'm waiting on an answer to be like, do you have any other videos showing this particular one? Because I have no idea how to do it right. And I'm like, there's no way I'm doing it right. So I don't want to show people what I think it is and get everyone else frustrated. So right, I just have like skipped around now. So I try to do like a complicated one and then a few easy ones and a complicated one and a few easy ones. So I don't lose people because I don't want people like, oh, this is way too advanced. Gotcha. It's not for me. Like I'm like anti-gatekeeping. Like everybody should crochet. Everybody should try it. I want everyone to try it. So I don't want to intimidate anybody to the point of like not trying it.
So in the description is her, your Facebook is in there, your Instagram is in there, your TikTok is close, and your Etsy is in there. So check out her Etsy. I mean, you are so funny. I was like, I have to see if she, I didn't even think you was going to answer, and you answered like that.
Yes, I was honored to be asked. Really, this was so fun. Aww. And so special, and I'm so glad to have a new friend. And
yes.
Chat anytime. And thank you so much for the support and just making amazing work. I'm honestly in awe of the graph games you create. So you're the best. And this was so fun.
No problem. I'm just so excited. But don't forget about me with the charity. I am doing something with charity. And I will let my fiber community know about the charity work. And we could get that going and get it out. But I'm trying to get Katie Dead on here too.
Oh, that would be so fun.
So I'm going to try to see if she could come on here because we tried the machine.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually my most popular video. Yeah. Everybody wants
people
to know
are
about
amazed that. By it. Yeah. Yes. People are truly amazed. Yeah.
So that would be great if she could help us with the trials and error of that, because I'm ready to just toss it. It could go.
Don't toss it.
I'm sick of it.
I had to take mine apart and like clean it and stuff, which was really frustrating, but don't toss it. Cause they're actually like so fun. Once you get them going, I'm like, oh my God, I just made this hat out of nowhere. Like there was nothing. There's a hat now. But also, yeah, they're definitely frustrating. And she's amazing. Like she's also just like a really kind human being. Like that is also something I just love. She's just like a sweet, nice person and just wants to like do well and also not gatekeep in the community. So I hope you get her on here. because she was she's just great. She has done a lot for this whole fiber community. So
I love her positivity, her attitude. Yes. It's just fun. And like I said, our research. I'm looking at your post. I'm looking at her because I don't want just anybody on here. So I'm like, oh my God, I like her. I like her spirit. And the audience like you as well. They said enjoyed this chat. I can't wait to do the Kamala pillow. So you're gonna get some people to purchase. I want to do the Kamala pillow.
Do it, girl. Hey, I'm just gonna send it to you. Let me just don't buy it. I'll send it to you. I got you.
No, I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna support you.
I'm going to do that. Pillow. And then I'm gonna, if you sell it, tell me and I'll point people in your direction.
I need that pillow.
I'm gonna send it to you right now.
You. Thank you so much, Kelly. I'm so excited.
Thank you for inviting me. I had so much fun. And we'll talk soon about the charity stuff. Thanks so much, Donna.
All right. Thank you. Have a
Bye.
Good one.
You too. Bye.
All right, guys.
I'll dance my way out.
You're so silly. All right, guys, thank you so much for coming on, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow, Monday. We're going to have Crochet Dream, or is it Dream Crochet? Crochet Dream or Dream Crochet? She is on Instagram, and she's so big on Instagram. Her outlines, her crochet is beautiful, but it's the background for me. It's like she makes all these illusions and stuff like that. Like, she's fun. Like, I like her, so... She's going to be on tomorrow. I can't wait to have her on here. And see you then. Bye.
Hello, sunshines. How art thou? This is Shauna, also known as Creative Stitching Diva. You are listening to Chronicles of a Crochet Diva. This is the pilot, the very first episode. Let me know what you think. Today we're going to discuss how crochet saved my life. How did it save me?